So I just want to take a second and say thank you to Sean and GES for putting this on. If everybody could... It is definitely a blessing, and their ministry has blessed me in my years of being a pastor and also just, you know, recently. And so it's definitely a blessing. If you guys haven't, go on faithalone.org. And make sure that you, you know, just are part of their newsletters. You get, you know, their free magazine. I mean, and when they say free, it doesn't mean that if you don't stay subscribed, you're not going to get it. It doesn't mean that they're going to charge you later. It doesn't mean that if you don't tell other people about it, that they're going to charge you because you're not doing your duty. It means free because they believe in grace. Amen? So I was asked to go into personal study and talk about what it means to, for a believer to really just thirst after the Word of God. And so I was really excited about that. And really, my session tonight is going to be paired very strongly with my session tomorrow on prayer. But as we go to the Word of God, I think one of the most important things, as you're going to see tomorrow, is that prayer and personal study are tied. And so as we go to the Word of God, I think that we need to go ahead and just ask Him to speak to us tonight, and that He would just use me as His mouthpiece, and I would step aside and let Him be seen rather than any part of me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for being a wonderful and an awesome God. Lord, I thank You for a wonderful day like this. Lord, that we could come together as brothers and sisters and be encouraged and grow. Lord, that we can dive into Your Word and look to see how we can just grow as believers, grow deeper in discipleship. Lord, follow You step in step. Lord, I pray that You would just encourage those that couldn't join us, Lord. Lord, I pray that they're watching online and they're just being enriched as well. Lord, those that are here, Lord, that You would be encouraging them. Lord, that You'd keep everybody healthy and safe that's here. Lord, as we open Your Word to look at Your Word, that it would move us. Lord, that we would be changed by it. And Lord, that we would be walking away, not as chewers, just sitting there going over it and over it and over it, but we would be doers, living it out, sharing it out, and carrying it out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question I want to ask you guys tonight, because I always start any time I speak by asking questions, that's kind of just the way I like to do things, is can you handle the Word of God? That's the main question I want to ask us tonight. I guess a follow-up question to that would be, if you heard false teaching, would you be able to detect it? You know, would a radar in your mind shout out just saying, hey, you know what, that doesn't line up? When you hear someone teach the Bible, what do you do with what you hear? Because that's another good question that we have to ask ourselves, isn't it? So we have to ask ourselves, can I rightly handle the Word of truth? Am I living out Scripture? Am I being guided by it? And if you hear false teaching, can you detect it? I want to draw our attention to start with a group that is... a group of people I think we should all want to model in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. That's Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. And if you know where I'm going with this, you already have probably detected the Bereans. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. And then it lets us know why they're noble-minded. And I love it because, listen, it's so important. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. The Bereans were a group of people that when they heard something, they looked it up. That when they were taught something, they just didn't take somebody's advice or you know, what, that person, yeah, it sounds accurate, but they said, you know what, let me make sure that he's matching up Scripture to Scripture. They were living it out and making it a part of daily life. We need to ask ourselves, how about me? A key to their life, which needs to be a key to our life, is examining everything to God's Word. Is going back to God's Word to make sure that we are just funneling our life and other people's teaching and our own understanding to make sure that Scripture is matching up to Scripture. And that the ideas that we're formulating based on Scripture is coming from Scripture. The only way to decipher truth from a lie is knowing and studying God's Word. It's not going to be from hearing a dynamic sermon or going to a conference. It's going to be through our own personal study of God's Word. So we need to check words. We need to check our life. We need to check other people's words to God's Word. And if it doesn't match up, let's chuck that person out. And I'm not saying you just throw somebody away, okay? Done. Because we need to love others, and we need to come alongside them if they are in error, in love, in grace, in truth. Amen? So we need to check. Second thing we need to do is we need to be diligent. And that is going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15, if you can, go there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Scripture says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Be ready. Get ready. Make sure nothing has been overlooked," is literally what Paul is letting us know as he's writing Timothy. He's writing to us as well, really. We're reaping the benefit of this letter to Timothy. This is actually Paul's swan song, too. This is Paul knowing that his life is ending, sitting in that maritime prison, and the most important thing on his mind is talking to his son in the faith, Timothy, and encouraging him. Just like we were blessed earlier by letting us know, really, that the one another's in our life is so important in the gathering of the saints. Paul, his last thing that he decides to do is he needs to encourage Timothy, the one another that was so important, his personal disciple. Be ready. Look, your Bible has a concordance, and there's a reason for that. You know, I remember, you know, growing up as a kid, it was like, you know, that was cheating. It was like you'd never go to your concordance and thumb through it, because if somebody saw you in Sunday school class, it was like, Sunday school teacher, look, he's cheating, he's looking. But the concordance is there for us to use. It's a tool, isn't it? I praise God for the concordance. Use it. But it says to search the Scriptures. Search the passages. Grasp the understanding from it. I like the way Wiest breaks it down, this passage. He says to bend at every effort. To bend your every effort as you are going to God's Word. Diligence. The second key, as I'm saying, is to be diligent. To study is diligence. And there's a little bit of a misconception. Sometimes when we look at this, we think that study means study. And that's not what it's saying there. It's be diligent. Be diligent to show yourself approved to God. Making every effort to understand and checking Scripture to Scripture. You know what the greatest place to look for understanding of Scripture is going to be? Scripture. The way to check to see if what you're understanding is right is not to go to a commentary, it's to go to Scripture. Be diligent, spodazo. It literally means to seek it with earnestness, to be diligent about it. It conveys the idea of hastening to do something and implying that you're going to do every energy within your being to do it. In fact, for those of you that are Greek freaks like me, you're going to like this. It's written in the aorist imperative, literally letting us know that we need to be making haste within this. It's a command to do this now. Don't delay in it. Make sure that you're doing it currently. Do it effectively. Be currently diligent in your study, in your seeking of God's word and understanding of it. So many Christians are haphazard and lazy rather than diligent in their approach to God's word. We don't systematically read it and study it or memorize it. And if people read it at all, they kind of jump around everywhere to, you know, not really taking in the full passage and understanding of what it's trying to let us know and the context of it, which is so important. We got to put ourselves inside of the sandals of the individual that was writing it. We're not seeking to know God and how He wants us to think, to believe, to look, and relate to others. The key to being diligent in God's word is to be motivated. To be motivated. Motivation is the key to learning. Have you ever been in an airplane and you just watch the people around you as the stewardess starts going through the, you know, procedures? Have you ever done that? Anybody? Does anybody pay attention to those? No. It's usually around the point when they say, okay, you fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen, that you start tuning out. That you take out your phone and you tell your friends, hey, guess what? I'm on and I'm safe. I'm turning off my phone now, so you're not going to be able to get a hold of me. And by the time you're done, she's already told you where the magazines are. And you've totally blanked out to the emergency exits and to the, if the mask pops out, you know, make sure that you help the child next to you and adjust and anybody that needs help, and this is how it's going to happen. But if that plane was going down and the pilot came on and said, hey, listen to the stewardess, they're going to explain exactly what's taking place, you would be motivated to listen to the message, wouldn't you? You would definitely be motivated. You would be giving the full attention to what was taking place at the front of the plane as it was going down. And so what Paul is letting us know is have a life motivated to seeking and understanding of Scripture. To be diligent to present yourself. It's the word peristemi, to have a moment in life where you have literally displayed yourself and said, hey, look, I'm ready for this, Lord. Look, I am handling the word of truth. So we also got to ask ourselves why every effort to present yourself is approved. Well, the word approved is the word dokimos. And it was used for money. I love that. Because in Greek times, they had money issues. Not like today where we have money issues where they're just printing more and it's diminishing the value of our money. Back then what would take place, in fact, there is something like 80 laws, if you look it up, 80 laws that Athens had to pass in order to prevent people from shaving down coins. And so that's why it's saying, hey, look, be approved, just like this coin is approved. This coin can hold its value. In fact, in the marketplace, what they would do is they would take out a scale and they'd put it out on the counter and they would say, go ahead and look, the money that I'm giving you in exchange for what you're buying here, what I'm giving you back, you know, it's approved. Look, the scale shows that this 1 ounce coin is 1 ounce. And I want you to put your coin on there to make sure. That's what it's saying, be approved. Somebody that is not shaving down the word of God, that is accurately handling it, and even when it comes to the hard words, even when it's coming to the hard things, even when it's coming to things that you're not understanding, that you are doing the work. So in the end, you can say, you know what, Lord, I am presenting myself, having studied this,
I've done everything I can to understand it. God is asking us to be true to His Word. True to people that we're teaching it to. It doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher to little two-year-olds. It doesn't matter if you've been a pastor for 50 years. He's saying, show yourself approved with every passage that you've ever presented. Be true. Why is that all important? Well, because, brothers and sisters, God warns us that there are going to be people that don't want to hear. That there are going to be people that are shaving down the Word of God. That there's going to be a time when people are going to accumulate for themselves teachers according to what they want to hear, to have their ears tickled. There's going to be false teachers in the last days. In fact, look, when Paul said that, he felt very strongly they were in the last days. And every day since, we're in the last days. And the only way to detect a false teacher is by being in the Word of God yourself. By studying it, by reading it, by looking at it, by memorizing it, by comparing text to text. Amen? Listen to the warning that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 7. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 7. If you would, go there with me. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? See, every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father will enter in. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name and perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And he goes on to talk about comparing the life built on the rock of God's Word. You see, in this passage, God says there will be false talkers, false prophets, people proclaiming to be prophets, meaning they're talking for God. And if you're not prepared, you're going to fall victim. That's why it's important to study to show yourself approved. He actually says that the eye test, you know, a lot of times we kind of look at things and we say, you know what, let's test it to the eye. If it looks the part, it sounds the part, it smells the part, then it's good, right? I mean, if you go to the store and you're looking to buy bananas, you're not going to pick up an apple and look at it and say, hey, that's close enough to a banana. No, you're going to say, that is not the fruit that I came for. But Jesus is saying that you're not going to be able to pass the test of eyes based on the people that are teaching falsely. The eye test is not going to help you, because when you do the eye test, it says that they're going to be sheep, they're going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. So when you look at them, they're going to look the part. They're going to look legit. Looking at the fruit isn't going to show you either, because you know what? There's a lot of people that are false teachers out there that have giant churches and look very successful, and you would look at them and say, you know what? They're successful. They must be teaching the Word of God accurately and truly. So you can't really go by the fruit either, because you know what? In Scripture, at least in my Bible, I don't know what Bible you're reading, it says that there's two different fruits. So if you don't know what fruit you're looking for, you're going to be confused. False teachers have fruit.
So if you're not looking for the right fruit, and I need to state that again, if you're looking for numbers, if you're looking for success, if you're looking for fame, maybe you're looking at the wrong thing. The fruit looks good, and it looks like a life-bearing tree. But as Jesus says, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. The person even sounds legit, because what does Jesus say in this? He says, hey, you're saying to me, Lord, Lord, but hey, look, you're far from me. You say the words, so you sound right. You're actually saying the words. You look the words. I mean, everything, if you're really dividing this and trying to understand this passage, it looks legit. This person, for most people, would get the stamp of approval. And there's plenty of people that know how to tickle the ears of a crowd, 2 Timothy 4:3 says. Oh, but Jesus tells us exactly how we can truly test this person based not on the eyes, not on the smell, but on the ears. And it's going to be based on your own personal study. It's all based on what you hear and what you have studied personally, having been diligent and examined, just like the Bereans. And just like Paul encourages us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Skip a couple chapters to the right, to Matthew chapter 12. Because here, Jesus really just lays it on the line. He's giving us the definition of basically, you know, if you got a little confused in Matthew chapter 7 of what we should look for in this wolf in sheep's clothing, he just lays it on the line in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37. 33 to 37, Matthew chapter 12. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak? Now, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and circle that. And if you're using one of my pew Bibles, I don't care. You could circle that even then. Speak what is good. For the mouth speaks out of which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasures that which is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasures that which is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying a wolf is known by the words that they speak, whether it's true to God's word or if it's not. The bad tree is known by the bad fruit, which is bad words that go against God's word. Is it scriptural or is it not? And the only way you're going to know that is if you're being diligent and testing everything like the Bereans to scripture. It doesn't matter the lingo that the person puts out there. It doesn't matter the size of the church. It doesn't matter any of those things. It doesn't matter any. Because we can be confused by fruit, can't we? Yeah, we can. But he's saying, hey, the fruit that I'm speaking of is if they're teaching the word of God. Listen, teachers, prophets, pastors, it's all about their speech. It's not about their following. Jesus fed tens of thousands on a hillside, right? And then he went from that to 72. And then he went from 72 down to 12. Then he went from 12 down to 11. Then he went from 11 down to no one being with him. The greatest preacher that ever walked the face of this earth. Wolves in sheep's clothing. You'll be able to detect them by whether what they're saying is scriptural or not. It has to go to the test of God's word. And the only way you'll be able to test that is by being diligent to show yourself approved, that you can stand and say, that's wrong. That's true. That's right. That's adequate. You could find the answers of everything right here.
by studying and knowing it and searching it. A person's made holy by God's word, amen? Listen, God's word does many things in the lives of a believer. God's word is pure. So if we need to go back towards, you know, our own life, if we find ourselves falling into carnality, if we find ourselves, you know, needing to repent as we're going to be studying later on, if we find ourselves doing any of those things, we're going to be able to find how to do it, find what is wrong, and correct ourselves by this right here, amen? It's always going to be in the trueness of God's word. Jesus even said it in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. I love that you brought that up today, brother. John chapter 17, verse 17, he says, "Sanctify them in truth, because your word is truth." That goes along with what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, when he says, "Let the word wash you." Nothing but the truth of the gospel and the cleaning that takes place through the reading of God's word will grow you and nourish you. Amen? The way to follow Jesus and really just follow in line as a disciple of his is going to be reading the word, understanding the word, going to the word, and living in the word. John chapter 8, verse 31, 32, Jesus says this. He said to those who were Jews and who had believed in him. So, wait one second, let's go back there. They're Jews who have believed in him, right? Are they saved? Wait, hold on, let's go back. No, they can't be, right? Because they haven't really shown them. No. What does the scripture say? They have believed. They're believing Jews. They had trusted in Jesus Christ. John 8, 31, 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my words, then you are truly disciples of mine." He didn't say you're truly believers of mine. He said you're truly following me. If you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to be in my word. That just makes total sense. Jesus was a rabbi. The people that were following him were his disciples. They were those who had committed to the learning of this rabbi. And he's saying, hey, look, you're going to have to learn from me. You're going to have to follow me. And you'll need to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Because Jesus wasn't about a tradition. He wasn't about a system. He wasn't about the rungs of a ladder. He wasn't about any of those things. Jesus said, hey, look, it's believe. So throw down the shackles. They had already believed. And so he's saying, hey, look, now let's start living this new law, which is love and grace. To continue meant to practice the grace that Jesus revealed here, and that's in Jesus' words. To live a life of love in Jesus and towards others. Jesus wants us to read, to study, to act, and to follow his word, and it becomes alive in us in personal study. Not living off of the words of your favorite preacher. Listen, I have some preachers that I love to listen to. And I just love getting and reading their material. I love listening to it. But you know what? If that's all I lived off, that's living off table scraps. That's living off of the regurgitation of somebody else. And you have to start chewing. You have to start going for yourself. You can't live off of someone else's table scraps. Your soul and your relationship needs to feast on the Word of God yourself. It takes examining and it takes being diligent. Amen? Did you know that one of the ways that Hebrew children learned the alphabet? It was through studying Psalm 119. The way that Hebrew children learned the alphabet was through Psalm 119. I love that. Psalm 119 tells them just as it told us, as it tells us, years ago, the benefit and wonder of knowing and studying and living God's word. And it tells it in the alphabet. from the time the little kids are tiny, 3 years old. Verse 9, how can I stay pure? Oh, by keeping God's word. So, verse 11, your words I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hey, how do you keep yourself clean from sin? You just be in God's word more. Verses 17 to 24 is a prayer that the eyes of the writer may behold and understand the wonders and truths that were written and given in the text of God's word. Oh, I love that. God, search me. Verse 105, and look, every single one of those verses is a gem. I'm just kind of skipping around. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is a lamp to guide us in the darkness of this world and the harshness and reality of this life. The thing that every Jewish boy and girl learned as they went through Psalm 119, Aleph, Beth, Chemel, Daleth, was the power is not in a man's words, but power is found in the living word of God. In the product of a man's life, you're not going to find truth, but you're going to find truth in God's word. Amen? That the choices of a man's mind isn't always going to be straight, but the choices are given in God's word. Life, protection, correction, and power, they come from God's word. That's why it says constantly in Psalm 119, your word, your word, your word, because it's not going to be man's word. And if you want it to come and you want to grow in that way in your relationship with God and Jesus Christ, it's going to be the diligence and in the examining in your personal study and growth. Amen? In His word, thy word. I want to end with this thought. When the FBI and CIA is training their people how to fake currency, they don't go and put them in a room of fakes. In fact, they don't even really bother teaching them all the different things with fake money. They don't show them fake money. They don't do all that stuff. The fake currency is just constantly changing. So the inks are constantly changing. The printers are constantly changing. The paper is constantly changing. Everything is getting better and developing faster and at a better rate. So no matter what, they'd always be behind. So instead, what they do is they sit them in the room with the real stuff. When you study the real stuff long enough, it's easier to spot a fake. Amen? Friends, study, because it's the only way to know truth. Memorize it, because it's the only way to stay pure. Live it, because it's the only way to stay actively following our Master. Amen? Be diligent. Be motivated, seek, examine. Go to God's word, not people's word. Go to Scripture for Scripture. Be diligent to present yourself, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the word, to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you've given us your truth. I pray that we would search it diligently, that we'd be motivated, because in it is the motivation for growth and to fall deeper and deeper in love with you. We have 66 love letters that are written to us. So every time we feel worthless and Satan beats us up with another lie, we could fall deeper in love with the one that is the lover and carer of my soul. And every time we start to doubt you or ourselves, Lord, we could go back to the love that is poured out, that nothing can separate us from the love that you have for us. Lord, there are so many truths wrapped up in your word, so much love wrapped up in your word that we could just go to and grow by, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Lord, prepare us by having us go into your word prepared. Lord, I pray that you would just encourage everyone in this room to every day decide to grow by being in your word. Lord, that every one of us would seek to be like the Bereans, examining every word said, even if it's our pastor since we are 2 years old, Lord, no matter who the individual is, Lord, that we would go to every scripture, everything said, and we would just search it for our own benefit, to show ourselves approved and diligent and motivated. The motivation is growth in relationship with you. We don't need to read the Word of God to be saved. As Sean showed us earlier, Lord, it's you believe and you're saved. You told us in John 6:47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. It's not believe and read. Lord, help us to grow by your word. Help us to fend off attacks by your word. Help us to be diligent to show ourselves approved, Lord, and fall deeper and deeper in love with you. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.